Today's daf in Masechet Eruvin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKadosh, is daf Vav. We're holding at the bottom of Hey Amud Beis, and what we were talking about until now, if you will recall, is the question of what the halacha would be if there was a break in the sidewall of a mavi. We talked about Rab Ami's Psak, Rab Ami and Rab Asi, about if there is a little piece of wall that's still left. So then if it would be four tvachim, it would be okay. If not, then you'd have to have something beloved. From that, we're getting into bichlal, the overall question about what exactly constitutes a break in a mavon. So we're right at the bottom, one line up from the bottom. Omer of Chani Barava, Omer Rav. Mavui shenifratz mitzido. So suppose you have, it sounds like exactly the case we spoke about before. You've got a typical mavui, and there's a hole in the wall somewhere along the side, to your right or your left, as you're walking forwards towards the Rosh HaSarami. So the din is that you could have a opening that would be up to 10 amos, because that's considered not to be a pirtza. That's considered to be a petach in the wall, and that would be fine. But the problem would be that if it would be in front of you, so then it would be only if it's less than four tvachim, is it okay? But once it's four tvachim, it's not okay. So let's imagine what the case is. Oh, my granddaughter was here today and found an old Erevin that has these pictures in them. I think these are the ones we used last time or whatever. So I'll be able to help you with the pictures, but I would still urge you, as Moshe Andel pointed out, to please try to concentrate and use brains and so that we can actually explain what's going on, okay? And then afterwards, you can worry about a little bit of visual aids. So what we're talking about over here again is a very simple case. You have a mavoi. You're walking along the mavoi. We're talking about a mavoi satum. A mavoi satum, remember, means a mavoi that is closed from three sides. It's open in the front. And the din is when a mavoi is open in the front, as long as it's not more than 10 amot, remember, you can use a korah or a lechi to be matir that mavoi on the side of the Rosh HaSarami. What happens, however, if that mavoi was, let's say, 20 amot wide? So then we'd have to build a wall to close it to the point where it's only 10 amot wide, right? So that's the shear of a mavoi. Excellent. Suppose we did that. We closed up the mavoi, and now some of the wall that we built collapsed. Now there's a hole in the wall to the side of the main opening of the mavoi. The korah is above us, and yet to the right-hand side, where there is no korah, and there was just wall, as you're facing the Rosh HaSarabim, there's a hole in the wall. So if that hole in the wall is less than four tvachim, then it's okay. But if it's more than four tvachim, it's not okay. So let me see if I can find the picture, even though I find it quite frustrating to have to find a picture for this, but fine. Here is the picture. So as you can see, there is a hole in the front of the mavoi, right? Did it add anything to you to actually see the hole in the front of the mavoi? Okay, good. So now the question, of course, is why that should be true. It doesn't seem to make much sense. Maishna mitzido be'eser. So explain to me, what's the logic that you can have an opening up to 10 amos in the side? Why is that? Because we say the general rule is that up to 10 amot is not considered to be a pirtza. It's not just a hole in the wall. It's an opening. So if it's an opening, that's fine. But then why isn't that true in the front? If the ruling is that a gap of less than 10 amos is not considered to be just a break in a wall, what's the difference if it's in the side or if it's in the front? Omer of Nehuna, Bereder of Yeshua, this is a bit misleading. It did not mean what it said. When it said there was a hole in the front, it didn't mean in the front. It meant if the hole on the side was all the way up at the front, which means that essentially there is now a hole in the corner, so that the corner collapsed. Oh, if a corner collapses, that does not look like an opening, because people do not normally make openings in corners. And because of that, That would be the only reason that we were saying there's a difference. But if it wouldn't be for that, it would be exactly the same. 10 amos in the front, 10 amos on the side, it's all the same. And here is a picture. Well, there's your picture where there's an opening. As you could see, the wall collapsed right there in the corner. Okay. All right. If it's in the corner, then Rav said that if it's in the corner, nobody makes, normal people don't make openings in the corners. And because of that, we don't consider it to be an actual petach. We consider it to be a pirza. Okay, this is Rav Chanan bar Rava, who quotes Rav. Rav Huna said, nonsense, that's not what Rav said. There's no difference between the side and the front. It's actually always defined by four tefachim. It's never defined by 10 amos. Rav Huna told Rav Chanan bar Rava, listen here, don't argue with me, because I'm not talking theory over here, man. I'm talking about an actual case, and I was present, and Rav came to a town called Damharia. And they brought him exactly this shaila. There was a case where there was a wall in the side, not in no corners, not in the side. And he actually, Paskin, if it's more than four tefachim, it's no good. So obviously I'm right. I'm not telling you a theory. Omar Leh said Rav Chanan, yes, I happen to know that case myself. And it has nothing to do with what I'm saying. It's true, Rav did paskin that way, but you know why? Any place that is named Damharia, I can tell you, is not a nice kind of place. And because of that, in that place, we won't say it in English, but in that place, Rav decided that he is not going to paskin anything that people might be makel with, and because of that, he was very machmer on them. So you're talking about a pirtze namovo? Let me tell you, he found a bika. He found a big open field, meaning that nobody makes any kind of gedorim on over there. There are a bunch of amaratzim. And because of that, he knew that if it would be makel on them to allow them up to 10 amos, they would have totally ignored the halacha. So because of that, he paskin l'chumra, even though it's not true. I'm telling you, though, what Rav actually held. Rav actually held 10 amot is fine in the side. Omer Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak. Well, I got to tell you that, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but what Rav Huna is saying seems much more reasonable, and that actually Rav holds four tefachim anywhere, not only in Damharia. Deitmar, take a look at this halacha that Rav paskin, which boils down, the way I see it, to exactly the same case. When we're talking about, now let's just get our facts straight before we get to this. We've been talking about the simplest case of a mavoi until now, and that is a mavoi satum. There's such a thing as an open mavoi. The actual technical name for an open mavoi is a mavoi mifulash, which is not just a mavoi patuach, but it runs completely straight through from one end to the other end, straight line that is open on both ends. So you'd have a Rishus HaRabim on either end of your mavoi. Now, that's a whole different can of worms, and you cannot be matir a mavoi like that by simply putting a korah on one end. That's for sure. We're going to see what you would have to do. Now, here was a problem in which there was a mavoi that was not a typical mavoi mifulash. It was a right-angled mavoi. So the mavoi was started off like a normal mavoi. It comes to what appears to be a dead end. But then when you get to the end, you notice that to your left, there's a whole other continuation of the mavoi that goes out to the other side street, which is a Rishus HaRabim. So now you basically have an L-shaped mavoi, which goes between Rishus HaRabim on the top of the L and at the leg of the L. What's the din of that mavoi? Because you could look at it as a straight mavoi that has a break in the side, right? I mean, that's basically what it is, isn't it? You've got a mavoi, comes to a dead end, but there's a hole in the side. The hole in the side leads into another Rishus HaRabim. Well, that's the case that you're talking about, isn't it? And yet, you know what Rav said about that mavoi? Rav said that the din of that mavoi is that each part of it is viewed as a mavoi mifulash. And if it's each one is a separate mavoi mefulash, this is how Rashi understands it, then if each one is a mavoi mefulash, I must tell you, there are other Rishonim who understand it as this is one big mavoi mefulash, and I don't care if it's a 90-degree angle. But we'll take Rashi's approach. So this is viewed as a mavoi mefulash, and if you have a mavoi mefulash, then you must have a tzuras ha-pesach on one end. You cannot use a korah or a korah on both ends or a lechi on both ends. One end requires a tzurat ha-petach to seal it up, okay? Now, Shmuel says, no, that's not true. It's like any other mavoi satum. You don't need a tzurat ha-petach because each one of them is considered to be closed at the place where there's this opening. Now, let me just clarify first, says the Gemara. Let's clarify, says Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Just so that you don't get confused, what size of a turn do you think it is? When you're looking to your left and you see the street going to Rosh Hashanah, how wide is that street? I mean, we're certainly not talking about a street that is wider than 10 amot, because then by no stretch of the imagination would Shmuel have possibly said that the din is Torah Tokes Satum. No way. I mean, because if it's more than 10 amot, then it's completely without any kind of ceiling at the end. So how could it be just a normal mavoi? So obviously we're talking about a mavoi where the turn in the mavoi is less than 10, right? Now, according to you, the way Rav would have paskin in this case should be that if I have a break in the mavoi to my left and it's less than 10 amot, I don't care. It's no different than any mavoi that has a break in the side. And you claim that according to Rav, 10 amot is perfectly acceptable as a break, and you do not need any further tikkun. And yet Rav paskind that, no, you're going to have to put in a tzurat ha-petach. It's considered to be open. Or how do you explain that? Okay. So elalav be'eser, we're talking about 10 amot, and Rav is saying torato kemefulash. Now, it's less than 10 amot, so what size do you think forced Rav to say torato kemefulash? Anything larger than four tachim. Those were the only two possibilities. Either we're going to tolerate a break in the wall of 10 amos, or we're going to tolerate a break in the wall of up to four tachim. Well, we're obviously not tolerating the 10 amos, so then that means that Rav is giving us a shear of four tachim. Does everyone understand the case, or do we need more visuals? Visuals, anyone, or we're okay? Barnea needs a visual? Okay. I give up. I'll stop asking if you need a visual for this one. There isn't any that you don't need a visual for.
I was okay at the Mavoi Akum, but then it got a little rough.
Here, this picture here. So what we're showing is the Tzurat HaPetach in the middle of the Akmimut, you see, which is the way Rashi understands it. So you put a Tzurat HaPetach in the middle, and that gives you two mavois that you can then put a lechi and a korah on the side that comes to the Rosh Hashanah. But there's no reason why that should be true if Rav is saying what you claim he's saying, and that is that he's allowing a break of 10 amas. Well, that's what this is. This is a mavoi with a break in 10 amas. And nonetheless, Rav is saying Torah toke mefulash, alma pirtzat mavoi betzido bi'arba'a. That makes it pretty clear that Rav Huna is right, and that Rav is actually machmer, not because it was damcharia and bika matzav agadar bagether, but simply because that's how he views the halacha. How would Rav Chanan bar Rava explain that? Says Rav Chanan bar Rava, hold on just 1 second. That's a completely different case. Let's imagine what the practical results are of having the mavoi opening up into the other street that way. Because I can tell you one thing, everybody who wants to skip the light is going to be driving through that mavoi. Nobody's going to be driving around. If I can turn and I can come out on the other side without having to get to the corner and make a left turn, so then I'm just going to drive to the mavoi like people do through gas stations. That's called Bakei Barabim. Bakei Barabim means that the Rabim make their way through the shortcut. Well, since you've created a shortcut, it's a disaster, because any time that you've got a case of a mavoi where the Rabim is using it, that completely destroys the mavoi. And therefore, you can't talk about that case, But I mean, that's the case you're talking about. I'm talking about a case where you have a hole, but the hole abuts an area that is, I don't know, it's a mud bank. It's a place where nobody's driving. And therefore, they're not going to be cutting through. That's the difference. I agree with you that there's a different problem in a movie that we haven't discussed so far, which is called Baki Berabi. That's what I says, Sefer Chana Bar Rava. Hold on a minute. So then that means you're saying that according to Rav Huna, even though the Rabbim can't break into it, you're saying that Rav Huna holds that you can't tolerate more than four tefachim? Hold on a sec. Didn't we have that whole Gemara just a little while ago of Rav Ami and Rav Asi that were talking about a hole that fell in the wall in the Mavoi? Nobody opened up their mouth over there. Everybody seemed perfectly happy to say that, yes, that's okay. As long as there's a piece of four tefachim at the front, we don't care if there's holes in the side. How come over there we don't care that there's holes in the side? And now all of a sudden Rav Huna says, we do care that there's holes in the side, even though the side is off to some kind of muddy area that nobody's going to be driving through. How do you explain then? Why would Rav Ami and Rav Asi have said it the other way before, that you can have up to 10 amos wide in a case where nobody's driving through it? Answers the Gemara, it's not as simple as you think. There are two ways to guarantee that people are not going to be driving through the Mavoi. That is to say that it's not Baki Barabin. One is that the area which it abuts is not a comfortable place for people to generally drive. So it's a swamp, let's say, one side of it, or it's a garbage dump. People don't drive through it. That's basically what we just asserted, that in that case, Rav Huna is saying, I don't care if it's a garbage dump. Okay, so Rav Ami and Rav Asi has to go one step beyond the garbage dump. And there is one step beyond the garbage dump, and it's there that, in fact, Rav Huna would be meida to Rav Ami and Rav Asi. And that is where the constriction on the driving is caused not by how we define the area outside of the hole in the wall, but whether the hole in the wall gets all the way down to the ground or not. That's the difference. The case that we were talking about before, Rav Ami and Rav Asi, was a case where it still has gidude. Gidude means there's little pieces of wall that are jutting up out of the ground where the wall collapsed. So that even though we don't have a mechitza there, and technically speaking we have a break, it is not the kind of break that people want to ruin their tires on. So they're not going to drive over it. It's not convenient to walk there. And therefore, it's not called Baki Berabin because of the type of opening it is. Masha Ein Kein, Ravin, he held, I don't need for the break per se to be different. I just need it not to be a place where Baki Berabin because of the type of Rishus. Okay, so now we've introduced a completely different concept called Baki Berabin and two ways in which we can implement the issue of Baki Berabin. Either because of the convenience of the actual mechitza, or because of the question of whether the area is utilized by a rabbi. That turns out to be the whole machlokas between Rav Huna and between the way that Ravin was understanding it, so that what appeared to be at the beginning a massive difference in how to understand Rav turns out not to be all that different at all. So Rav Chanan bar Rava understood that Rav was willing to tolerate up till 10 amos, as long as it was swampy and the road wasn't good in the area where there was the break. And Rav Huna was saying, no, he would not have tolerated that. The only place where he would have tolerated is where the wall was itself difficult to cross and people would not want to drive through it or walk through it. Fine. No big deal. Now, remember we had back in Masechet Shabbat, almost at the very beginning, we had the Shita of Rav Yehuda. Now, the Shita of Rav Yehuda was that if there's an overpass, so basically you've got a highway and you have another highway on top of it, and there's an overpass. Now, when you're standing under the overpass, what do you see? You see one wall to your right and one wall to your left, and the highway is going straight through it, right? Says Rav Yehuda, in such a case, the area of the underpass, per se, is not a Rishus HaRabim. That's right. Right smack bang in the middle of the highway. The whole highway is a Rishus HaRabim. However, according to Rav Yehuda, if you recall, a Rishus HaRabim that has two walls is by definition no longer similar to the Rishus HaRabim in the Midbar, which did not have walls, and therefore it loses its din of Rishus HaRabim. Now, in addition, you have a roof, because you've got the actual road that's going across the overpass, right? You're under that overpass. Therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, in that case, you can actually carry within that area because it's a Rishus HaYachid. So you can carry that entire distance of the underpass where you're under and the road is over and is no problem at all. Then Rabbi Yehuda added an additional thing, which is you're in a desert, let's say, and you've got the road, and the road goes ever on and on. And there it is, and it's 16 amos wide, and it's got 600,000 people. And all of a sudden, you come to a place where there's a house on either side of the Rishus HaRabim. Well, says Rabbi Yehuda, okay, that's the same thing as an overpass. Because the area where those two houses on either side of the Rishus HaRabim is not a Rishus HaRabim, because it's got sides to it. Ah, but it doesn't have a roof. Okay. So if it doesn't have a roof, all you need to do is put a lechi on one side of one house and a lechi on the other side of that same house. And that does the same thing that the roof would have done, because there's no Rishus HaRabim here anyway. That was Rav Yehuda Shita. Remember that everybody argued on Rav Yehuda, and they said a Rishus HaRabim does not lose its din because it has two mechitzas. Fine. That was an argument. Now, today, we seem to be ignoring all of this by quoting the following braita that just slaps the whole sugya in the face. Turn her up on it. How could you make a derech Rishus HaRabim? And here is the first time we have found the Gemara use the word Eruv the way it's used in modern colloquialism. How can you make an Erev in a Rishus HaRabim? Now, this has nothing to do with the din of Erevin. Again, this means how could you make it possible to carry with what we call an Erev in a Rishus HaRabim? Well, you could make a Tzuras HaPesach on one side of the road, and you could then close the other side of the road with either a Lechi or a Korah, and that would be enough, which is outrageous. Okay, but we're going to immediately look at this and say this makes no sense. Chananya Omer, Chananya says, well, no, actually, it's a machlokes Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai says the only thing you could do is build an actual door on both sides of the street. Now you've closed off the street. Anybody who walks in and out of the street would have to open the door just while he's using it and immediately close the door. Beis Hillel says, no, you only need a door on one side of the street, and then on the other side, you could put up a lechi or a korah. Okay, so we have three shitas. We have the Tanakama, we have Chananya according to the Beis Shammai, and Chananya according to Beis Hillel, right? The problem is, says the Gemara, not right, because nobody holds what this says. Ask the Gemara of Rishut HaRabim Mima Arva. What do you mean, how do you make an Erev and Rishus HaRabim? You cannot make an Erev and Rishus HaRabim. What are you talking about? Remember way back in the Masechet Shabbat, where we had Rav Yehuda talking about the overpass, and he said, forget about just the overpass, which over there, I think for sure, you don't need to do anything for. You can carry under that overpass, even in the middle of a highway. But I say beyond that, Yetra Kain, I say if you've got a house on either side of Rishus HaRabim, and you've got two homes on one side, you want to carry your chalent from one side of the Rishus to another side of the Rishus, Mishnei Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, you can do that too. You put a lechi on one side of house A and a lechi on the other side of house A, and then you can carry from house A to house B because you've got a lechi on either side, or you could put a korah over the wall of the two homes if you want, over the road, whatever you want. And then you can carry from one to the other. You can carry in the street between the homes and everything's okay. To which the Chachamim replied, nonsense. You cannot make an Erev in a Rishus HaRabim by using any type of virtual deal. A korah and a lechi is a virtual mechitza. It's not an actual mechitza. So basically what they're saying is, we disagree with you about two mechitzas already giving it a din of rishus ha-yochid midoraisa. We say this is a real rishus ha-rabim, not like you. And if it's a real rishus ha-rabim, then I think we're all agreed. You certainly cannot use anything virtual in a Torah. This is a deoraisa. The Torah didn't create dinim of kaira and lechis, and where do you get that from? So there's nothing that you could do. Now, I mean, that seems to be saying that the Braita makes no sense at all, because the Braita says, how do you make an Erev in Rishus HaRabim? And the Chachomim just said, you don't make an Erev in Rishus HaRabim. So what are we asking how to do it? Now, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, it only says you can't make an Erev like that. Oh, okay. But maybe you could make an Erev with something better, namely a door. Is a door a virtual mechitza? No. A door is much more than a virtual mechitza. A door is a real mechitza. So maybe if you put up one door, that would be okay. So maybe bekachu delo ma'arva, habedlatot ma'arva. Delatot should not be misunderstood as meaning two delatot, one on either side. Latot means doors in general, using one door, which would mean that Basila would make sense. And Basila would be saying, yes, you can be Ma'ariv Arisha Sarabim as long as one side is closed with a door. Maybe that's what you'll try to tell me, but that would be completely wrong. Because Amar Rabba Barbachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, we have two Ma'amorim that show that this is wrong. A, you should know that if not for the fact that Yerushalayim has gates, and those gates are closed at night, then you would be chayev on Yerushalayim for carrying in it, because it would be a real rishus harabim. And there would be no way that you would be able to make an Erev in Yerushalayim without closing all of the gates. So apparently you cannot create a rishus harabim unless things are actually closed. And furthermore, the same thing happened in Bavel, where Ula said, you know, the Avule de Mechuzah, we've got these big areas that are by the gates of Mechuzah. Mechuzah opens up from one end of the city to the other. It's got this massive thoroughfare in the middle. And nonetheless, it's not a Rishus HaRabim. But do you know why it's not a Rishus HaRabim? Ilmalei daltoteim ninalot, if it weren't for the fact that the doors of Mechuzah were closed at night, then you would be chayiv in Mechuzah also as Rishus HaRabim. So you see that it's not called Rishus HaRabim until it has doors on both ends. Okay, if that's the case, then we don't have that option of explaining the Braita. So tell me now what the Braita means. I think you've made your point, whatever it is, Rav Barnea. I'm assuming that that's Mechuzah and not Yerushalayim.
It's Yerushalayim, and the gates running one from the other, from Shar Shem all the way to Shar Zion, but on the same line where the original gates were. That's right.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Always helps to have a map. So, again, let's go over what the problems that we have are. The Braita came along and told us that there's a three-way machlokas about how it is that we can make it what is colloquially called an Erev in the middle of Rishus HaRabim. What were the options? So the options were Atzuras HaPesach on one side of the Rishus HaRabim and either Alechi or Korah on the other, according to the Rabbana. Then we had two other options by Hananya. One was Hananya's option of Beit Shammai, in which you could put a door on either side and keep it closed. Well, obviously that really would work in Rishus HaRabim, but we're not talking about Beit Shammai, we're talking about Beit Hillel, because we're trying to figure out the halacha here, right? So now Beit Hillel says, according to Hananya, that the din is that you can utilize one door. Uh-oh. So then we asked on that, but what about the famous issue about the difference between having two walls in Rishus HaRabim, or do you need three walls to take away the Rishus HaRabim? And over there, everybody agreed that Rav Yehuda is wrong. And once it's a Rishus HaRabim, which means in this case it has two walls, I mean, not that that's relevant to us necessarily, but if it's a Rishus HaRabim, There is nothing that you can do to be Ma'ariv Rosh Hashanah. Nothing. Except literally close it off. I mean, that's Beit Shammai's approach. But Beit Hillel is saying that it's okay to use one door. How could you use one door? We ended up paskening that that's halacha l'maisa, Yerushalayim. It's only considered to be carryable because it's completely shut down at night, all its doors. Same thing was true in Mechuzah. So what did we miss in that braita? Omer Rav Yehuda, not to be confused with Rav Yehuda, of course. Omer Rav Yehuda, the first braita is a misquote. The first braita never asked how to make an Erev and Rosh Hasharabim. There's no such animal as an Erev and Rosh Hasharabim. By the way, this point that you cannot make an Erev and Rosh Hasharabim is one of the biggest problems of Erev in Bizman HaZeh. Because the question is, what constitutes a Rosh Hasharabim? If you don't hold of Rashi and those who follow Rashi, and you just say that Rosh Hasharabim is measured by 16 amot in width, and that's the only requirement, other than, of course, it can't have roofs and things like that. But in terms of the measurement of Rosh Hasharabim, and then all of our cities today have Rosh Hasharabims. The only reason, and therefore none of the Eruvs are kosher. The only reason that we allow Eruvin is because we're following the Shita of Rashi and those who follow Rashi, that one of the criteria for Rosh Hasharabim is the utilization of that Rishus by 600,000 people daily. And therefore, again, nowadays, even that's not much of a problem, but it used to be, until very recently, that cities did not have 600,000 people on the road, in medieval Europe, and therefore the Erevin started becoming very popular. The question today, where 600,000 people is not a problem either, it becomes much more serious. We have to go through all types of halachic leaps to allow an Erev to be an Erev at all. And according to the Rambam, none of the Erevim are any good because he doesn't hold it. You need 600,000 people, Bichlal. So even those leaps don't really make much sense. Okay, but these are things that we'll clarify as we continue going through the Masechet. But in any event, this is the Gemara that makes it absolutely clear. There's no such animal as an Erev and Rosh Hasharabim. So what did that original Braisa actually say? Says Rav Yehuda, Hachi Ka'amar, Ketzad Ma'arvim, not Rosh Hasharabim, you can't do that, but Ketzad Ma'arvim Mivo'ota Mefula Shem L'Rosh Hasharabim. There is a secondary type of Rosh Hasharabim, namely roads that connect between Rishuyot HaRabim. So in other words, imagine situations where you have these massive avenues, right? And these avenues are used by 600,000 people and they're 100 feet wide and so on and so forth. So they meet all of the criteria for Rishuyot HaRabim. Then you've got your side roads that connect these. And those are thin roads, and anybody trying to cut down one of these roads knows how tough it is to get from one avenue to another in New York or whatever. And you're going to be sitting there in the traffic and so on. Because those are actually, they're maybe wide open to Rosh Hasharabim on either side. You're going to go from First Avenue to Second Avenue. You're going to go from Broadway to Fifth Avenue. But the point is that you're not on the actual avenue. So those are called Mrushuyot. They're called Mivo'ot or Mefulashim directly into Rosh Hasharabim. So those, by the way, I should mention to you, that according to Tosfos, a mavui that is mefulash between two Rosh Hasharabim in the same direction. So let's say there's a bottleneck. Tosfos says if there's a bottleneck and you have a full Rosh Hasharabim, but then it's constricted by a mavui. And this could happen if you've got like three or four mevo'ot and the street splits between these mevo'ot and then it comes back together, which is not all that rare. Tosfos says in that case, the criterion do not apply. Because the main road is Rosh HaTarabim, and therefore even the Mavoi Mefulash will be a true Rosh HaTarabim. But in this case, what we're talking about is the perpendicular roads. So those are Mefulashim to Rosh HaTarabim. That's what the Braise was talking about. And that's what we were saying was Osa Tzurata Petach Mikan, according to the Tanakhama, and Alechi Vekora Mikan. And we also have the Machlokas, in which Hananiah says, no, it's really a Machlokas, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. And according to Beit Shammai, you even need to close the whole thing up with doors on both sides. And according to Beit Hillel, it's enough to put in a door on one side. By the way, note, we never understood from Beit Hillel whether that door needs to be closed or not. He just said you need to put a door there. Beit Shammai was the one who says, and every time you walk in or out, you better close the door. So it's not clear whether Beit Hillel was talking about a formal door or he was talking about an actual door that closes. Okay, that the Gemara is going to ask. Now, once we now understand it, so Itmar, now we have a machlokas how to paskin. So Rav says, we actually paskin like the Tanakhama. That in a mavoi that is mefulash between two rishon sarabims, it is sufficient to have a tzurat ha-petach. You do not need a door at all. Put a tzurat ha-petach on one end, and then you could use a lechi and korah on the other end. Whereas Shmuel says, no, we paskin like Hananiah, obviously Hananiah libet beit Hillel, which would mean that you would need an actual door on one end. By the way, asks the Gemara, what does that mean? Does it mean a closed door or just a door? So, L'chananya libet Beit Hillel. Was Beit Hillel agreeing with Beit Shammai about closing the door, or it nothing to do with that? Tzarich linol, or ein tzarich linol? Oh, Tashma, let's take a look, and I'll bring you a very clear answer. There's a machlok, Omer of Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, eino tzarich linol, absolutely, you don't have to close that door. Rav Masna quoted also Shmuel as saying, you do not have to close the door. Others say that he said even more than that, and that Rav Masna reported on a psak halacha l'maisa, which is always greater to rely on in terms of maisa rav, and ikadayamer, what Rav Masna says was, I personally was present where I had exactly the situation. I had a movi that was with fulash between two rishuyot rabim, and there was a door on one end, and I asked Shmuel, do I need to close the door? And Shmuel said, no, you do not need to close that door. And they asked Rav Anan the same question, paskening apparently like Beit Hillel, not like Rav, but paskening like Hananiah, the way Shmuel was paskening, Alibra Beit Hillel, of course. Do you or do you not have to lock that door, not lock, but close that door? He said to him, look, man, you shouldn't even be asking me. You tell him you never went to visit Narda? Take a look at the doors in Narda, okay? The doors in Narda is gigantic mavoi that goes between two rishos harabims. Those doors have not been moved in 200 years. They're halfway sunken into the ground. You couldn't move that door if you wanted to. And actually, you can watch Shmuel. I used to see Shmuel walking in and out of Narda, carrying in that mavoi. He never said anything to them. And so apparently there's not a problem. Even if the door is stuck, so certainly it doesn't have to be closed. Omer of Kahana, that's not a riot. Because you're right, those doors actually hadn't been moved in years, and they were stuck in the mud doors, but they weren't stuck open. They weren't stuck closed either. But basically, they were half closed, so they looked like closed doors. Maybe that's why. But you can't say from there that if a mavoi just had a door, that you could just leave the door wide open. Maybe you can't. The author of Nachman, actually, when Rav Nachman came to Narda, and he saw those gates that you're talking about making such a big deal, he said, will you bring a bulldozer, please, and clear this out? We got to be able to close the doors. So then, obviously, he seems to be saying, Lema Kasav Rav Nachman Tzarech Linol. So Rav Nachman holds you really against everyone that we just said? Not necessarily. What he might hold is they need to be suitable to close. If they're not capable of closing, he's saying that's even worse. Because when you were asking, do I actually have to close it? That's one issue. But included in that question you were asking, does a door work by signifying closure? But even if it only works by signifying closure, it doesn't actually need to be closed. It needs to be able to be closed, doesn't it? So therefore, Rav Nachman would be perfectly in his rights to say, get those doors out of the mud, even if he would agree with everything that we said up until now. So afa pi she'einan ninalot, they need to be ru'uyot ninol. Now, there was also a mavui that was the mavui akum, the same question that we had. It was a 90-degree mavoi, and it went between those two Rishos Sarabims, just like the question we were talking about with Rav and Shmuel, right? So, okay, we had that machlokas, whether it's considered to be a mavoi mefulish, or is it considered to be a mavoi, is it actually a normal mavoi sosun that just has a door on the side, so to speak? They had a case like that. And they paskined, very strangely, something that is a contradiction in terms. I think, because they made two separate chumras. They said, look, we're going to be machmer both like Rav and like Shmuel. And they said, the only thing you could do about this mavoi is you got to put doors on both ends. Nothing else to do. How is that possible? Well, basically, you needed to follow Rav's chumra. What was Rav's chumra before? Rav said that if you've got a bend in the mavoi that goes on both ends, opens into Rosh Hasharabim at a 90-degree angle, the din is that it has a halacha of a mavoi mefulash, right? So you'll say, okay, so then let's treat it like a mavoi mefulash. What did Rav just say a minute ago? Rav said, you can trust the Tanakama on a mavoi mefulash. That's what he said. And all you need to do in that case, v'amar Rav halacha ketanakama, all you need is a tzurata petach on one end and either a lechi or korah on the other end, right? So why did they say you needed to put on doors? Oh, that's because when it came to what to do about a mavoi mefulash, they said, well, in that we'll go like Shmuel. And Shmuel said, Zalok is like Hananya. And that is that if you have an open mavoi, so it's a mavoi mefulash, the din is that you need a door. Yeah, but wait a minute. Shmuel was the one who said that if it's a 90-degree angle, it does not have a din of a mavoi mefulash. It has a din of a mavoi sosum. So why would we be machmer? Oh, that's true. But for that, we were machmer like Rav. And Rav said that it has a din of a mavoi mefulash. So therefore, we're going to hit you on either end. If you try to claim you hold of Shmuel and that it's a mavoi sosum, we'll say, no, that look is like Rav. It's a mavoi mefulash. So he said, okay, fine. So I asked Rav what to do with a mavoi mefulash, and he said, I don't need any doors. Yeah, but we paskin like Shmuel, that if it is a mavoi mefulash, you need the doors. Says the Gemara, you can't do that. You can't paskin like two contradictions like this. Mi avdina ketrei chumre? What, you're going to be machmer like a meshugana? First of all, okay, this price has got problems. We'll worry about the problems in a minute. But what it says is like this. The halacha is always like Beis Hillel. But if you want to do like Beit Shammai, you can, which of course is a contradiction, and we're going to ask that contradiction in a moment. But you want to do like Beit Hillel, that's fine. You can do like Beit Hillel also. But if you want to decide to go Lakula like Beit Shammai, and also Lakula Beit Hillel, oh, man, you're a Russia. That's terrible. You might as well be a conservative rabbi. If you want to be the Machmir and take the Chumras of Beit Shammai and the Chumras of Beit Hillel, then you're an idiot. Olav ha-katuv omer ha-ksil b'choshech olech. A fool always walks in darkness. Make up your mind. You're going to paskin like Beit Hillel, you're going to paskin like Beit Shammai. So this means if you're going to paskin like Beit Shammai, so then follow him the whole way. Kikuleyem v'kachumureyem. If you want to paskin like Beit Hillel, then you have to go all the way. Kikuleyem v'kachumureyem. So how did they make this crazy psak and say that we're going to hit you on both ends, partially like Beit Shammai, meaning partially like Rav, and partially by Beit Hillel, meaning partially like Shmuel? It doesn't make sense. Okay, but before it doesn't make sense, can I ask you how this brisa makes sense? A goof akasha, this is a contradiction. You started off a brisa saying, the halacha is always like Beit Hillel. And then you say, but if you want to do like Beit Shammai, you could do like Beit Shammai. Make up your mind. Yeah, those are referring to two different time periods. When it said over there that you can do anything that you want, that was talking about before the Basco came out to paskin like Beit Hillel. And then you could do whatever you wanted. You want to do like Beit Shammai, you want to do Beit Hillel. But then when it said at the beginning, by the way, nowadays, li'olam halacha k'Beit Hillel, that's talking about after the Basco came out. And therefore, it's not a contradiction. Oh, you know what? It could also even be, maybe the whole thing was at the same time period. Maybe both of them was after the Basco. How do you explain the fact that the Braita says you could also do what you want? and not follow the bat kol, that part, which is the second part of the braita, is true according to Rabbi Yoshua, because Rabbi Yoshua is the one who doesn't believe in bat kols. And when there was that bat kol that came out to try to paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua stood up and said, get this bat kol out of here. The Torah doesn't paskin like bat kols. Where's your smicha anyway? And basically, a bat kol's lav hashamayim hi, we paskin the Torah, or we say the Torah, and nobody's going to tell us different. So, okay, so according to him, he says, who cares about a bat kol that said that loch is like Beit Hillel? That's nonsense. You paskin whatever you want. So maybe that part works out okay. Anyway, but Lamaisa, it sounds like you're pretty stupid in trying to do both the chumrah of Shmuel and the chumrah of Rav. So for this, we shall wait till tomorrow to see the exciting possibilities. Meanwhile, I shall wish you a wonderful Shavuot Tov, and hopefully, Yinei El Yeshuati, Eftach V'Efchad, and Bezrat Hashem, will just go Michael El Choyel, everybody, Besirot Tovot. Kol Tov, everyone. Have a great, great Shavuot Tov.